Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are sharing what happens when you die.
And Bill, we're going to also share three true stories of people who have had a near-death experience.
Right, and they're really interesting stories. You know, how often have we been convinced about a thing and then later discovered we were in error? You know, Mark Twain once said, "We are all ignorant, just about different things." And Thomas Edison stated, "We do not know 1/1,000,000% of anything."
And while there's no greater mistake or nothing worse than remaining ignorant about what happens when you die.
Right.
This is one area you must be absolutely 100% right or face extremely dire and horrific consequences. Once a human being dies, their spirit and soul pass on very much alive, experiencing eternal bliss or eternal torment, depending upon their destination, right, Bill?
So true. You know, why are we as educated people willing to talk about almost any subject except for the Bible? You know, if we don't talk about a subject and do not investigate it, we will remain ignorant or uninformed. Why would we be resistant in regard to gaining knowledge on something that involves our eternal destiny? Also, why does the mention of the Bible cause many people to even get angry? Well, I can tell you why. It's because the Bible convicts people of their sin. Many do not want to be told that what they are doing is sin. They state that it puts them on a guilt trip. Well, that's just the point. We are all guilty. We all need a Savior as we have all sinned. As Psalms 51, 1 through 5 states, Romans 3:10 and 3:12 and 3:23, Romans 5:12 and Galatians 3:22 make it very clear.
So true. You know, it just takes a little bit of humility. Because
right.
I like that quote you said by Mark Twain. I mean, we are all ignorant just about different things.
That's exactly true.
So why not admit, hey, I might be ignorant about the afterlife or what happens when I die?
Right. We all don't know everything.
Exactly. You know, Bill, I don't know how people are navigating life today without Jesus Christ. I know they are not doing it very well. You know, even those who appear happy and successful, they still have a void deep down inside them. And they are all afraid of dying.
It's so true. You know, Dr. Maurice Rawlings, he was an MD, and he said this, "Most people are deathly afraid of dying. They say, 'Doctor, I'm afraid of dying.' But I have never heard one of them say, 'Doctor, I'm afraid of judgment.' And judgment is the main concern of patients who have been there and returned to tell about it."
And there are literally thousands of people, Bill, from all different walks of life who have experienced heaven or hell through near-death or clinical death experiences. I mean, they are too numerous to simply discount as a figment of their imagination or an hallucination.
Right, and Dr. Maurice Rawlings, he's just one doctor that has investigated over 3,000 cases of near-death experiences. And in his book, To Hell and Back, he tells a story about Dr. Donald Whitaker, a medical doctor. There was a medical doctor, and he was a PhD, who was a specialist in research science. He was dying in the hospital. He had only one Christian friend who would tell him about Jesus, but he wasn't interested. The doctor said, quote, "I had a condition that was called acute hemorrhagic necrotic pancreatitis. You don't live with this disease." Now, I was an atheist. You see, it's very easy to be an atheist when you're successful. You have worked your way from Oklahoma welfare to being one of the most powerful men in your part of the country, one of the most powerful men in the state of Oklahoma in relation to political. It's very easy to be an atheist when you have done all that. Man can sit back and say, "I don't need God. What is God?" But it is very difficult to be an atheist when you're laying on your deathbed, because you begin to think, what if these people, these Christians, are right? Now, when I'm lying there on my deathbed and knowing that I'm going to die, guess who I thought about? I thought about that one friend, that Christian friend named Ron. What if there is a heaven and a hell? Immediately, the most pressing thought in my mind is, how do I get saved? What is saved? What is saved? And so I sent them for Ron. I knew that he had something that I had to have. But Ron wasn't home. Well, that night, as I was lying there in bed, I would begin to fade away. And as I would fade away, it was like darkness. It was so, so dark. The darkness penetrated into your very being. Now, I can tell you I left my body because I remember when I came back into my body. Now, I don't know where I was out of my body. There are people that talk about a light or floating above or a feeling of warmth and love. I didn't feel any of that. I felt none of that. I felt untold terror. Untold terror, because I knew that if I ever went all the way, if I slipped all the way out of my body, I would never get back. Now, in my beings of beings, I knew that. Close quote. Now, he fought all night long because he knew he had to wait until Ron got there. And the next morning, Ron came and led him in the sinner's prayer. Now, this was a very staunch atheist who was wealthy and successful, a very difficult man to convince. But his experience of heading towards hell, well, that changed his mind in a hurry.
That is a powerful story, Bill. And, you know, thank God he had one Christian friend in his life, Ron, who had tried to share Jesus with him before.
Right, and I saw him share this story live on television, and he had terror in his eyes when he was talking about hell. I mean, you could see genuinely he was shook up to the core, and he didn't even see hell. He was just on his way there, and he was desperate to get saved.
You know, that's why we all have to be encouraged as Christians that we can sow a seed with somebody that doesn't know the Lord, and don't worry about if they receive it then or not. But
right.
Look how this man remembered his friend telling him about Christ, you know, a long time before.
Right, having one friend, what that made the difference,
yes,
in his life.
So we just got to share the truth. We're just the messenger. We're not the Savior.
Exactly.
You know, and there's also a story in his book, Flight to Heaven, about Captain Dale Black. And he shares his experience. Actually, his was he went to heaven. And this is an amazing near-death experience, and it's told by him. He was a pilot, this Captain Dale Black. He was a pilot for TWA, and he flew for over 40 years. His doctor also verifies the medical claims he makes in his book. His near-death experience happened 40 years before he finally shared his story, and it is a miracle that he survived the plane crash, and he was the only one who did.
Right.
And Bill, his injuries were so massive and extensive, it is a continued miracle that he ever recovered. Do you want to share a little bit about what he saw in heaven?
Yes. He said, quote, I was fast approaching a magnificent city, golden and gleaming among a myriad of resplendent colors. I was overwhelmed by its beauty. There was a huge gathering of angels and people, millions, countless millions. Below me lay the purest, most perfect grass, colorful, wild flowers. The fragrance that permeated heaven was so gentle and sweet. Now, in the distance stood a range of mountains, majestic in appearance. It was something like being in a 3D movie, multiplied by 10,000. Utterly breathtaking, my body was elevated above the ground and moved effortlessly. My energy seemed boundless. Even though I had always worked hard to be in excellent condition, I had never come close to feeling as strong and healthy as I felt now. It was as though I could accomplish anything. Music was everywhere. The worship of God was the heart and focus of the music, and everyone and everywhere the joy of the music could be felt. A seamless blend of vocals and instruments. I had never felt such overwhelming peace. When I had questions or needed understanding, it seemed to be imparted automatically and directly into my heart. I understood in my heart that God's will was perfection and His Word was the source of all creation. The Word of God was and is the foundation for everything. God was the heart of heaven, His love, His will, and His order. Close quote.
Oh, I love that. I love how God was and is the foundation for everything. I mean, He saw so many colors and the magnificent city and, wow, He describes it like a 3D movie. That's right. Amazing, you know?
He saw much in His book. He described a lot.
Yeah, it sounds so beautiful. Makes you want to go, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, and then lastly, I want to share also the story of Bill Fischel. It's in Perry Stone's book, Secrets from Beyond the Grave. And Perry states, talking about Bill, he was aware of moving rapidly into a dark tunnel, going downward into the floor and under the crust of the earth. He described this tunnel as very dreary and dark. His first question to himself was, if I died, then why am I not going toward heaven? As he continued his descent, spiraling downward, he observed a faint light at the end of a long tunnel. The light, he would later learn, was coming from a large cavern somewhere in the earth. He described an intense heat. The ground was desolate and hard. He noticed that people of various ages began to appear. Bill would later realize these were the souls and spirits of men and women from all around the world who had just passed away on earth and were all drawn to this area before their final confinement. The entire mass of people began moving slowly toward this supernatural being. Suddenly, it was as if a veil was lifted, and Bill began seeing these people falling headlong into a very large opening that he described as a massive pit. He observed a second angelic-looking creature casting people into this immeasurable opening. The huge canyon contained thousands of smaller pits, all burning with fire. He suddenly heard a mighty chorus of moans and cries arising from below. Bill said, there was a very depressing darkness far above the hole and a strong odor in the air of burning sulfur and the sickening smell of burnt flesh. He began crying out to God for mercy and help. Meanwhile, in the hospital, the doctors and nurses were working on reviving Bill, and they were successful. In the place he acknowledges as hell, he was suddenly being drawn back upward towards the earth's surface. I asked Bill, were you attending church when this happened? He replied, I would go to church, but I was not living the life I should. But after this incident, I was so shaken that I said I would serve the Lord and follow Him with all of my life. Bill certainly was faithful, and he did follow the Lord until his death. You know, Bill,
it's a powerful story.
That is a powerful story. I mean, he saw a glimpse of hell. And these are just a few of the stories in your book, What Happens When I Die, but they give us a glimpse into eternity.
Right, and I share 35 true stories in there that really touch you. Some of these people have seen heaven or hell in a dream, vision, or near-death or clinical death experience. And so they're powerful stories. You know, if you are living your life without God, thinking you'll just maybe be annihilated or go to heaven because you're a pretty good person, well, you are sadly mistaken. You are on the road to hell. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it.
And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And again in Acts 4:12, Peter is speaking about Jesus, and the scripture says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.
Boy, those are really clear verses. I mean, you can't miss it by that. You know, health should scare any rational thinking person. Making no decision is a decision. If you are willing to turn from sin and follow Jesus Christ, well, you can do that now. Please don't put this off. You know, Jesus came to take our sin upon himself when he died on the cross. He was buried and rose from the dead, conquering death and hell. Only his blood washes away our sin. Now, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, please say this from your heart, but you can repeat this after me. If you want to do this and receive Jesus, say this prayer. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I know I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. Please forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for my sin on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I renounce the works of Satan. Fill me with your spirit. Now I am your child and in your family. You said you would never leave me or forsake me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.